Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, number one sports show in the city of Houston once again. And we always have the best guests because we're that good. And joining us now, he will be at Warehouse Live tomorrow night. Michael Rappaport will be recording his I Am Rappaport stereo podcast with special guest Paul Wall. And if you've listened to the show, you've heard us talk to Michael before. Michael, welcome, man.
How you guys doing? Thanks for having me.
Hey, doing fantastic, man. So why Houston? I know you were down here for the Big Three a couple weeks ago, but why do the show here, man?
Well, you know, you guys have great fans. Great sports fans, great comedy fans, great music fans. So we're doing the I Am Rappaport stereo podcast world tour. So you can't do a world tour without coming through Houston. I never gotten to perform there, and I'm looking forward to bringing the trash talking extravaganza to Warehouse Live tomorrow night at 8 p.m.
Yeah, you've I know you've had a lot of pretty big name Houston guys on your show before. Paul Wall, that's not a bad one to have either.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be fun. You know, he represents the city to the fullest. I can't wait to talk to him. You know, we're going to be talking, you know, obviously we got to talk Carmelo. That's the elephant in the room. I could prepare you guys. What could you expect from Carmelo going into this next season? You know, I'm definitely a Texans fan. There's some players on that team that I really like, Jadavian. Obviously, everybody likes J.J. Watt, and hopefully Deshaun Watson is going to be healthy. He's obviously an MVP-caliber dude. And, you know, we talk about everything. Talk about sports, talk about life, talk about love, talk about lust, and everything in between. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah, give us a little preview of what you think Carmelo is going to be for the Rockets. I know you got a little insight into this one.
I mean, I think that if he's healthy, you know, he averaged a reluctant 16 points last year. I think he could average, you know, 18 to 20 points a game. It's just a matter of where his head's at and what he's willing to do. I mean, I guess, you know, he knows he's taken a huge pay cut. He wanted to come to Houston. And I think that, you know, he's no longer in his prime, but I think he's still a very effective scorer. He was never Mr. Defense, so I don't think you're going to get that from him. But I don't think Houston prides itself on its top-notch defense. I think they try to score more points than you, and he could add to it. And he'll have some of those nights where he explodes for 30 points. But it's James Harden's team, and Houston was very tough last year. And I think that with the addition of Carmelo, in a really strong role, they're going to be just as tough, if not tougher, next year. Obviously, it's a learning curve getting to the finals and winning a championship. I didn't expect them to even take it as far as they did against Golden State, but I think this year they're going to be even tougher in a Western Conference that somehow, some way, got even more ridiculously challenging.
Did you expect the other day to wake up in a beef with LaMelo Ball and LiAngelo Ball? Did you expect that to happen?
You know, I never expect to wake up in the beefs, in my Twitter beefs. You know, I like to talk my crap. You know, I commented it on. You know, they brought that attention on themselves. Obviously, LaVar Ball is a character. I think he's a harmless character. But they started this league, and the only people that you heard about all summer with this league is LaVar Ball, LaMelo Ball, or Jello Ball. And then you look at the championship, you know, everything's on, you know, social media. Between the two Ball brothers, they shot the rock 76 times. Can you imagine playing basketball and two of the players on the team shoot the ball 76 times in one game? So it's funny. He's 16. You know, I have a 16-year-old son myself. I don't take it personally. I think it's fun. It's part of the social media culture that we live in now. But I never predict these things to happen. I never think that anybody's going to respond to me, or even anybody even hears what I have to say.
Well, I can see a scenario where two guys shoot the ball 76 times. It's if Chris Paul's hurt and it's just James Harden and Carmelo next year. Like, I could see 76 going up.
I mean, even if they tried to shoot the ball 76 times, I don't think it's – I'm not like a stat guy. I'm not Johnny Stat. I don't stat check. But 76 times in one game from two guys, that's I mean, are the other guys just out there for cardio? Like, are they allowed to get their ankles taped? Are they welcomed in the locker room? Are they drinking Gatorade? Like, what's are they from extras casting? Like, who are the other three guys? And they need to really step up and say something. I shouldn't have to go on Twitter and Instagram to say something, or on my own podcast to bring attention to this.
Michael Rappaport, our guest, he'll be at Warehouse Live tomorrow with special guest Paul Wall. I have to say, no matter what you do with the podcast or anything else, you're always going to be Dick Ritchie from True Romance to me. It's like that
that's not a problem.
That character, I love that movie. I love that character.
I always think of him as a Nazi. We have different different memories of Michael.
Yeah, but mine is True Romance, and I'm like, and just the way he delivered that line, I got the part. I'll never forget that. So, no matter what you do,
well, I appreciate that.
No matter what you do, that's good. That, sorry, go ahead.
No. I mean, that movie True Romance really lasted the test of time, and people. That movie probably gets brought up to me at least once a day, and it's my pleasure to talk about it. I was as excited as Dick Ritchie to do it. I was a kid in a candy store. I was young, and you know, I still am a big fan, and I try to keep that fan in me alive. And at that time, you know, working with all those other actors in True Romance, I was very honored and excited to be there.
So I know you still do some acting. Is it what do you enjoy more, doing the podcast or, you know, getting on TV and turning in a really good performance?
I love it both. You know, I love the podcast. I'm always going to be an actor. I got this show, the season two of a show that I did for Netflix, Atypical. It's a season two is premiering September 7th. I'm never going to stop acting. I have different interests. And I love performing. I love, you know, doing my thing, and wherever I could find a place to do it, I like to do it. So I love them. Both. But I say my first love will always be acting.
How much has Netflix and that changed the game with the way they're doing things for an actor? I mean, there's more opportunities out there, and plus the way that Netflix is doing it, that's got to be pretty cool for somebody in your business.
Yeah, I mean they literally. You know, that term gets thrown around, game changers, but Netflix is a game changer, and the whole streaming world is changed television and the opportunities and the diversity of the kinds of shows, dramas, comedies, you know, comedies on top of comedies, you know, revivals of shows that, you know, thought were dead and gone, like Full House, and, you know, it's a great time, for television. It's a great time in the streaming world, and I'm happy to, be able to participate in it. And I like the show Atypical, and I'm looking forward to people getting a chance to see season two.
I know you're a big three guy, because it seems like every time I look up, you're at the big three events. How'd you get involved in that?
I got involved through Ice Cube. It's his league. He's the mastermind of it. And they reached out to me about being a part of it. I was excited when I heard about it, and I jumped at the opportunity. I'm the crazed sideline reporter. You know, the games are serious, but I don't take what I do serious. It's the summertime. I like to have a good time with the guys and, you know, respect the game, but also, you know, I know their personality so well from spending time with them off the court that I just like to try to bring a little entertainment to what I do.
I know the last couple of years you've gotten pretty heavily involved in fantasy football. Are you going to continue putting out fantasy football stuff this year?
Absolutely. You know, I don't know if I love fantasy football more than football at this point, but I love them both. This is a mock draft season. It's actually duress mock draft season. Next week, next Monday, we go into waterboard duress mock draft season. I take my fantasy football very seriously, and I'm just preparing to try to, you know, conquer and kill everything in my fantasy football way. It's a big season coming up.
How many leagues are you in?
Again?
Yeah, how many leagues are you in? Like going into this year?
Two this year.
Just two?
Just two. Last year I was in four, and it was a little too much because, you know, I like to really invest myself emotionally. I don't do it for the money. I do it for the honey. So I'm only doing two this year. Maybe three, but I really want to try to just keep it down to two.
The Emotional Friends League, is that your most important league?
Yeah, the Stern Show League will always be my most important league. That was like the league that took my fantasy football virginity, and I will continue to try to conquer every single thing in my way in that league. I've come up short. I believe this is my fourth season. I've been to the mountaintop and got kicked off the fantasy football Super Bowl mountaintop. But this year, I feel like it is my year, and I got my draft coming up in a couple of weeks, and I'm just preparing a mock drafting and duress mock drafting per usual.
I remember a few months back, you were on Twitter beefing with John Football about John Football wearing a shirt on Twitter and trying to clown you, and then you came back at him.
Do they still call him John Football?
Well, we do. We call him that in jest around here. But
yeah,
but you call him a pill popping bum, things like that. I don't know if the beef ever, if it just kind of died out or you guys actually like squashed it, but when you're watching him play some Canadian football game throwing four interceptions in his first start, are you laughing at him at that point?
I didn't know if I enjoyed the four interceptions more than the KO at the end zone. He was running around like a chicken with his head cut off, and the defensive back knocked the crap out of him. And the ball fell into the end zone, so it was a touchdown for his team. I don't know if he'd be able to recall that play. But, you know, I didn't really have any issues with Johnny Football. He came at me. I used to be, you know, sort of a fan. I was never like a big fan or a bad fan. I wanted to see him do well. He came at me, and I put the curse of the Gringo Mandingo on him. And until he apologizes, that curse will not be lifted. He needs to apologize either on social media or directly to my face, and I can lift the curse. It's very quick the way I can remove that curse. Very easy.
All right, that's Michael Rappaport. He will be at Warehouse Live tomorrow. Special guest Paul Wall doing the podcast. And Michael, really appreciate you spending some time with us. And obviously people can get tickets at warehouselive.com. They can also go to sportsmap.com. They can just click right there at the top and get tickets. And man, hope it's a great show. And glad you're coming to town, man.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate the support, and I'll see you guys soon.
All right. Michael Rappaport. Yep. Warehouse Live tomorrow.